Welcome back to another episode of Tell It Like It Is with your host, myself, this 504 girl, and let's get into it. Today, August 18, 2021, in Brooklyn, New York, R. Kelly goes on trial in his sex trafficking and racketeering case. This morning, we'll be opening statements with both the prosecution and the defense. Robert Sylvester Kelly faces multiple counts of racketeering and sexual exploitation of and sex trafficking of women and girls. Robert Kelly pleaded not guilty of all charges. The judge that's presiding over the trial this morning will be Judge Ann Donnelly. And the defense team consists of Nicole Blank Becker, Thomas A. Farinella, and Devereaux Canick. And the prosecution team consists of U.S. Attorney Elizabeth Geddes, Maria Cruz Melendez, Nadia Shatata, and Maria Cruz Melendez is giving the opening statements this morning. I believe the prosecution is going to start it off because they have to put out their case because this is the government against R. Kelly. And one thing I want to say about the prosecution team, that it is all females, and I think that is so awesome. It just kind of reminds me of the song by Beyonce, "Who Ruled the World." Okay, so that's what's going on this morning, starting early this morning, 8:30 Central Time, 9:30 Eastern in New York. Maria Cruz Melendez spoke for the prosecution, and she said this case is about a predator, a man who for decades used his fame, his popularity, and a network of people at his disposal to target, groom, and exploit girls, boys, and young women for his own sexual gratification. Ms. Cruz Melendez told jurors Wednesday morning to kick off the biggest celebrity trial in recent memories. This is probably going to be bigger than the O.J. Simpson trial. So she goes on to say hold on one second. Kelly and his crew shared a common purpose of achieving objectives of the enterprise to prompt his music and brand while bringing girls and women into illegal sexual activity. They contended that Kelly's accusers were not permitted to leave their room without receiving permission, including to eat or go to the bathroom, and were required to wear baggy clothing when they were not accompanying Kelly to an event or unless otherwise instructed by Kelly. Ms. Melendez argued that as Kelly's career took off, so did his pattern of abuse, saying that was success and popularity brought him was access to girls, boys, and young women across the country. After luring them into his world, Kelly would use them sexually to extort power over them. He allegedly often recorded video of his sexual encounters to lord over victims so that they wouldn't speak out. Sometimes he had them write letters that were falsely self-incriminating as other form of collateral. Cruz Melendez alleged. I'm sorry. This case is not about a celebrity who likes to party a lot, or about the defendant's sexual preferences. The sexual conduct at issue in this case is illegal. He began collecting girls and women as if they were things, ordering them for sexual and other needs. He used every tick in the predator's handbook. So that's basically some things she said. She also mentioned some things about Aaliyah. Aaliyah had a gift, explaining that people thought she was talented and could rise to superstardom. She started to work with R. Kelly, then 27, shortly thereafter. He engaged in sexual activity with the 15-year-old. One night in 1999, while Kelly was on tour, he learned that Aaliyah thought that she was pregnant. This created a huge problem for him, given that she was a minor. People would ask about her pregnancy. Who is the father? So Kelly and his cronies came up with a plan. The defendant decided he needed to marry Aaliyah. Kelly thought that Aaliyah would not be able to testify against him if she were his wife. He flew back to Chicago in the middle of the night. Aaliyah was waiting for him at an airport hotel. They had a meeting. Kelly and his team worked to gather information to make the marriage happen, which included getting identification for Aaliyah that said she was 18 years old. His tour manager paid a clerk whom he knew $500 to get the fake ID. In a hotel suite, the defendant, 27-year-old, married Aaliyah, who was 15 years old. So she goes on and on and on. She also talked about another Jane Doe. Her name is Sonya. Spent approximately 3 days locked in a room, pleading to get out. Let me go back and tell you who she is. One second. So, an adult accuser in this case, identified by the name of Sonya, she allegedly met Kelly in 2003 in Salt Lake City, Utah, in a mall. She was a radio station intern and was given Kelly's number on a later date. One of the employees flew her to Chicago. When Sonya got to Kelly's studio, one of the defendant's employees asked her if she needed condoms, maintaining that the woman was there for professional reasons, not sex. Sonya was allegedly escorted to a small room. She soon discovered that the room was locked. It says Sonya spent approximately 3 days locked in the room, pleading to get out, to go home, to get some food, to go to the bathroom. 3 days after she was locked in there, an employee brought her some cold Chinese food and a Coke. Sonya fell asleep. When she woke, she noticed a wetness between her legs and Kelly in the corner of the room, pulling up his pants. It was clear to Sonya that she had been sexually assaulted. So that is what the prosecution says. So Kelly's lawyer, Nicole Blank Becker, came up and she argued that Kelly, in fact, had a track record of positive romantic interactions, even when they ended. Becker said he often remained friends with his exes. You also are going to hear that some of these relationships that Mr. Kelly had, they were beautiful. She also claimed that Kelly wasn't shutting people across state lines for for illicit sex. She described him as a man that had a very, very busy schedule. She also stated that you would hear that the relationship he had with the Jane Doe's was consensual relationships. These were individuals who knew what they was getting into. So she went on and on, like downplaying the girls. And she actually slipped up at the end of her opening statements. She had a slip up. She said, one second, y'all. She said that the jury should find R. Kelly guilty. Then she said, oh my God, I mean, not guilty. So I just want to really, really read what the prosecution was saying. And you can go back and read what Nicole Becker was saying. She really downplayed the girls and what they went through. Of course, she's the defense, and that's exactly what she was going to do. So after the prosecution and the defense team had their opening statements, they went to lunch, they came back, and the first witness on the stand was Jeronda Pace. Some of you may know back in 2008 when R. Kelly was going through his trial back then, Jeronda Pace was outside the courtroom and she was known as a super fan. So, some kind of way one of his guys gave her his number and that's how it all started with Jeronda and R. Kelly. So, I'm just telling you what happened, what she was saying when she was on the stand. So, R. Kelly took her virginity when she was 16 years old after they met at the courthouse that's in Cook County in Chicago. He made her drink a drink called Sex in the Kitchen and to lie about how old she was. R. Kelly stated that he would train her how to give him oral sex. They had sexual contact over a span of 6 months. Eventually, he took her phone from her and he stated to her that was one of his rules. She was not able to leave the room or anything of that nature. It was his rules. So that's just a gist of what happened on the stand with Jeronda. It was late in the evening, so I assume they'll call her back on the stand in the morning for more questioning. Jeronda Pace is 9 months pregnant and she can go in at any moment. And I was telling y'all the other day how she was on her Instagram saying that she didn't really want to fly to New York. She's 9 months pregnant and things of that nature. But she's there. She's the first witness. And I'm assuming she'll be back in the morning. So that's what happened in court today. Very interesting. I believe it's going to get even more interesting as the days go along. And if you are a survivor of sexual assault, You can call the National Sexual Hotline at 800-656-HOPE. That's 800-656-4673. And once again, if you're a survivor of sexual assault, you can call the National Hotline. And I'll talk to you later.